Welcome, welcome everyone to The Enthusiast Life. I am your host, Mark Turcotte. I'm so glad each and every one of you have decided to make me a part of your day. Well, it is Monday, May 6th, 2024, and as promised, I'm here with a brand new episode. That's right, the show is back, like I announced last week, so yes, it wasn't just a fluke. It just wasn't a thing that came out of nowhere. Well, maybe it did kind of come out of nowhere, but it wasn't exactly empty promise. The show is here, and yes, you are listening to a new episode of The Enthusiast Life. And I want to take a minute here at the top just to thank every single one of you for sending me the love, man. I got a lot of love this week. As I mentioned, as always, you can follow me on Twitter at Mark Turk at MarkTurc. And it's a great way to get in touch with me. And many of you did, man. I appreciate it. Jason over on Twitter said, great to have you back. And always have wondered what had happened. Been listening since Guardian Radio, and I was still subscribed. It was a nice surprise when I saw The Enthusiast Life back in my podcast feed. Let's see. DP, so Bijiron LDO says, hell yeah, over on Twitter. And Debo Stevo says, glad to see you back in the podcast space. So, guys, thanks for reaching out to me over on Twitter. Now, you can also hit me up on email, which a lot of people did as well. You can always email the show at theenthuselife@gmail.com. James said, longtime listener during your Destiny days. Nice to have you back. Jamie says, you're back. He says, I almost unsubscribed last year, but I thought, nah, what if he comes back? And I'm so glad you are. I always got my nerd news from you, and he says, don't put too much pressure on yourself. You don't owe anyone anything. Yes, it's nice to know if someone you enjoy listening to stops for whatever reason, but you make free content for us. He says, we don't have any right to demand any expectations. Just glad to have you back for however long. Well, Jamie, hopefully this will be a longer stint, or long stint, I guess I should say, is the right way to say it. Nathan over in the UK says, greetings from the UK. Great to have the pod back. I've missed it. Looking forward to more episodes. And Kalen, he says, yep, still with you, still here. Appreciate you being in my feed once more this week. Already looking forward to the next one. And please break down some of this current and upcoming Star Wars content. Thanks for all you do. Make sure to be kind to yourself. Kalen, well, thank you for sending that out. And we may be jumping into a little bit of Star Wars this week. Not sure how deep into details we're going to get, because that's the one thing, is being that we're only doing this kind of, at least this show, a definite once a week, maybe. You know, if we don't do a game club, kind of that second episode, I got to be careful. I don't want to spoil too much. So I may kind of intermingle and even maybe some spoiler episodes kind of here and there. But we'll see. But we definitely have some Star Wars talk coming up here in a minute. And Jonathan also said, welcome back. I was pleasantly surprised to see a new episode in the podcast this morning. Looking forward to many more. So if you want to be like any of those folks I just mentioned, you can, of course, send an email, theenthuselife@gmail.com, or hit me up on Twitter at Mark Turk, MarkTurc. And, you know, this week it was a lot of the, hey, welcome back. Great to have you here. But I want, moving forward, give me some topics and just random questions, fun questions, nerdy questions, enthusiastic questions. Send those to me and we'll get you involved here on the show and let you be a part of kind of everything that's happening here on the podcast. Now, if you didn't get the chance, be sure to go listen to our Retro Game Club that came out last Friday. We talked about Mega Man X. We had an hour and 20 minute conversation about not just Mega Man X, but also kind of all our history in gaming. And it led to some fun conversation, and I think you'd really, really appreciate it, especially if you're someone who grew up on kind of some of those older retro consoles. I think you'd have a lot of fun listening to it. So check that out, Retro Game Club on Mega Man X. It's the most recent episode here in the feed outside of this one. And if you would like to be a part of the next Retro Game Club and kind of be in the know of what we're talking about, that's coming out this Friday. And this week, we are talking about Super Mario RPG, The Legend of the Seven Stars, over on the Super Nintendo. Now, there is a remake that just came out on the Switch. So if you've played that, I haven't played it myself, but I hear it's a pretty, pretty faithful remake of the original. So even if you just played that, you probably can be a part of this conversation, or at least hearing us talk about the older version. But one of us, Neil, who's on the show, he actually has played the remake, and it's one of his top three favorite games of all time. So we're definitely going to get into some good conversation there. So if you have played the game or are currently playing the game or whatever, hit me on Twitter, send me an email. I would love to get your conversation about the game here on the show. That would just be awesome. Because again, it's a club, right? So you want to be a part of the club. You want to feel like you're kind of in the conversation, and we want to get you guys involved in it. So send that over to me. All right, enough about that. Well, this past weekend, there was it's a pretty big weekend. Kind of the stars aligned. We kind of had this like perfect mix of two holidays that, I say holidays, but for us as nerds, as enthusiastic people, right? These are two of the greatest days of the year. Number one, you had Free Comic Book Day. That was on Saturday. And it just so happened that that day was also May 4th, which of course is Star Wars Day, May the 4th. So I don't know what you did to partake in the Star Wars stuff, but for us here at my house, believe it or not, I actually didn't go out on a 501st event. I was planning to our local soccer club, Charlotte FC, our MLS team. They had their soccer or their Star Wars night happening then. We also had the Charlotte Knights, who is our minor league baseball team, was having their Star Wars night. And on top of that, you know, you had all these different just small kind of pop-up events happening. But the problem for me and why I actually didn't go out, well, it was kind of twofold. Kind of last minute, it was raining. It was just terrible weather here in the Charlotte area this weekend. But there was a huge music festival happening in Uptown Charlotte. And it was kind of one of those like, all right, well, the baseball stadium and the football stadium, if you've never been to Charlotte, are literally right next door to each other. So it's like, do I want to, number one, go fight that? And then on top of that, you pull in this huge music festival. I think Post Malone, I think, played that night. It was a huge outdoor festival. They've never done anything like this. Chainsmokers were there. One of the nights, Stevie Nicks was playing one of the nights. I mean, it was just kind of this wild music festival that was happening. They've never done it in Charlotte before. So nobody really knew what to expect. And I was just like, you know what? I am not going to go up there and fight for a parking spot. I have to drag my stormtrooper armor kind of all around Charlotte just to go in there. So I really wanted to do the event. Unfortunately, I didn't. But I did partake in watching some Star Wars content here through the day. But before we did any of that, I actually went for the opening of my local comic book shop and took part in Free Comic Book Day. So myself, my wife, and my daughter all went. I was really adamant, like I wanted the new IDW Turtles book they had for free. Because if you've never been to a Free Comic Book Day, the way it works is there's always like the gold issues and the silver. The gold are in a little bit lesser of a supply, if you want to say. They don't put as many of those out. They're more the sought after books. And then the silver books, of course, they're more supply. These are things like your more kiddie books. And not even, it's not all books just for kids, but you know, they're the books that people don't want as much. My local shop offered $3 a person. So being that I was there with my wife and daughter, we all got $3. So we got 9 books. And I walked out of there with the turtle book. I think he opened at 12. We were there by like 12:05, 12:10. And I think I grabbed the last turtle book. There was a Amazing Spider-Man. That was there, an Ultimate Verse, kind of the new thing that Jonathan Hickman's, that whole new thing that he's running. They had an Amazing Spider-Man one. I got a Star Wars one, which the cover is amazing. Kind of has a lightsaber cutting the middle of it, and then has half of Luke's face on one side, half of Vader on the other. Very, very cool. And, you know, Free Comic Book Day, when you read those books, they're not like, I don't want to say they're not the greatest stories, but it's kind of really just advertising for arcs and things like that that are going to be coming up in the books very soon, which that's kind of why I wanted the turtle one. There's a series that's launching very soon called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Night Watcher. And it's kind of a mystery right now who the Night Watcher is in the Ninja Turtles. And so don't necessarily know who it is in this book. His story where they kind of follow the Night Watcher was only, God, maybe 10 pages long of the book. And then the second half was actually pretty funny. It was a book where the brothers all go out and Splinter is left back. And in the beginning, he's all aggravated by everything they're doing in the sewers. And then they go out and then he literally does everything that they do. And it kind of cuts back and forth. It was kind of just a funny story of them. But the Night Watcher, we don't know who it is. This M-bomb has gone off, this mutagen bomb in New York, and has turned, I forget how many, it's like more than half the population of New York, into mutants. And the Night Watcher is kind of out there just patrolling and setting the standard for what is right and what is wrong, almost kind of like a Batman-type hero-type character in the turtle world. And it's interesting to see that being a turtle, and we don't know who it is yet. So I was kind of hoping to get a little glimpse of that. But so far, I'm intrigued. Definitely want to kind of consider that book. And on top of that, they just wrapped up the IDW series, if you haven't been following that at all, at issue 150. And the new issues are starting, I believe it's in July. And they're kind of following the, kind of like what Mirage did, the original Turtle run, where they actually put a couple issues out and then they did kind of these standalone books about each of the Turtles. So you had a Raphael book, you had a Michelangelo. And I think Raph's book is the first one launching in July. And I think it's every month they're hitting it and then they're starting the new series. Kind of just telling the story again. So I'm really interested to see kind of how all that plays out, and I'll definitely be there picking those books up. You know, I haven't actually been buying physical books. I mean, really, definitely ever since COVID, but I've really transitioned a lot into digital, and even more so into Marvel Unlimited. I mean, Marvel Unlimited still is just, you know, when it comes to comics, man, it's just to me, it's the best. I mean, for everything, I'm being a Marvel zombie, being into the Marvel books, like, that's where it is to read it. I mean, even if as I mentioned on the last show, with, like, getting into anime and manga here recently, the Shonen Jump app, it's all digital comics on there. But that's just how I read my comics now. It's just kind of the way of consuming it for me. So, I don't know, but I do want to buy those physical books because Turtles for me are just, you know, I have that long-standing history with the Turtles, so kind of going back to that. Is great. Now, the other thing I did when I got home was I immediately sat and binged Star Wars Tales of the Empire. So if you didn't catch Star Wars Tales of the Jedi, which came out, I think, 2 years ago, back in 2022, do yourself a favor and go watch that. It's incredible. It follows Ahsoka and a couple other stories kind of in there. I think there's a Qui-Gon. And again, recording and my dog is barking. dude, he's like always barking up there. I think it was Qui-Gon and Dooku, I think, is what it was, because Qui-Gon was Dooku's Padawan. Kind of followed them when they were young, which was awesome. So go watch those. But Star Wars Tales of the Empire, it's 6 episodes. I think the longest one was like 18 minutes. Shortest was maybe like 13 minutes. And essentially, you have two stories being told there. You have the first 3 episodes follow Morgan Elsbeth, who you may remember from, she was in Mando, as well as Ahsoka, kind of played a big role in Ahsoka. And then the last 3 follow Barriss Offee. And overall, I will say I definitely was intrigued by every one of these. You know, what's cool about this Tales of series is you're able to get glimpses into, it kind of fills in some backstory, if you want to say. So it's not like you're sitting down watching an episode of, you know, The Clone Wars or The Bad Batch or Andor, any of these live action things. You're actually getting bite-sized stories. And sometimes they don't even really continue. Like in this case, Barriss Offee, it starts with her. The first episode, she's young. The second one's kind of like middle. And then we kind of catch up to where she is now. And her story arc, you see essentially by the end of those 3, what she went through, what she saw, and why when we see her in Ahsoka, and even Mando, why she is the way she is there. Not Barriss Offee. I meant Morgan Elsbeth. So I'm sorry. Morgan Elsbeth. So you kind of get that arc. So you kind of see why she's kind of a cold, harder person, and her allegiance to the Night Sisters, and that, like, you get that in that, which is awesome. Now, Barriss Offee, we get to see some cool things with that. We get to see her becoming an Inquisitor. And episode 4 of this, I think, is probably my favorite out of all of them. Seeing her go through that process, it gives us not only a glimpse into what it takes to become an Inquisitor, or what it took to become an Inquisitor, but also even those early days. Because this begins, like, right when the Order 66 kind of is going down. And then you get to kind of see from there, like, where she goes and why she's chosen and what she had to do to become an Inquisitor. But it's also, you can assume at that point, it's what all the Inquisitors have to do to become basically a Jedi hunter, right? They're the elites of the elite. They're Jedi, or they're Vader's elite force that goes out to take out the Jedi. And it was very cool to see that. So I urge you to go watch that if you can. Like, it is very, very cool. I know, you know, some people were a little like, oh, whatever, it's quick, it's over. For me, there was a lot of, again, filling in that backstory, but some of the way they set some of the shots up, like the first episode with Morgan, you get some awesome, Grievous content in there, and the way that the animation, the lighting that's there, and even the music and everything. And, you know, a lot of these, they always kind of end in like the big, like, screen quickly dark, you know, go black, dark, and like a, like with like the, whatever you want to say, dropping at the end. And like, it's always impactful, and they did a great job. I really hope that this continues forward. I mean, obviously, as far as we know, we don't know if there is another Tales of series coming, but in my head, I'm thinking, like, give me Tales of the Rebellion. Give me Tales of the Resistance. You know, give me Tales of the Sith. Give me Tales of the Clones. You know, they could do that and keep it where they don't need to create these long epic stories. You're just kind of filling in that backstory for these characters. And it's, I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I urge you, and probably if you're listening to this, you probably already watched it, but definitely go check out Tales of the Empire. It's a very, very cool thing. And it was awesome that it dropped on May the 4th, right? It gave us a little something to, something new to kind of fill in because we just lost, I don't want to say we just lost the Bad Batch because that's a bad way to phrase that, but the show's over, man. Like the Bad Batch is done. We've wrapped that show up. I think it was 47 or 48 episodes. I think it ended up going total 47 episodes, three seasons. I don't know what else to say about the Bad Batch other than I just loved that show. There was a lot I know, you know, kind of as we were going through it, a lot of the monster of the week, story of the week, kind of these episodes that really felt like filler. You know, especially you look at the first season had a lot of that, second season had a lot. This season, the third season, only a couple kind of mixed in there. But it's funny now, you know, as I've mentioned, I've been watching a lot of anime and a lot of manga. And the reason I bring that up here is because one of the things for me that I'm really learning with reading more manga and anime is how much, or while I'm watching anime, is how much they fill in the minute-to-minute, like, just aspects of life that people have, you know, that and it that ultimately connects you to the characters more, really builds those characters. And like I mentioned before, My Hero Academia, which, by the way, the new season just started Saturday. First episode's out. It's on Hulu and Crunchyroll. Go watch it. But that show, there's a lot of those slice of life type episodes. And even though that, I would say, probably pushes the main story forward more so than the Bad Batch does in those episodes, you're learning about the characters and you're spending time with them. Even a show like One Piece that has even some of these filler episodes, you just feel like you're part of the crew in that show. You're part of the gang, right? They're part of your family. And I think that, in hindsight, looking back at Star Wars The Bad Batch, now that we have the full picture, we see from beginning, middle, and end, kind of where it goes, the characters that come and go throughout it, the ones we lose along the way, everything hits with that. Like, it all builds up. And I gotta be honest, the very end of the show, I don't want to spoil it. And I know, you know, we had the writer there writing and saying, like, hey, you know, I want some Star Wars talk. And we will at some point get into some of that. But I, you know, of course, I hear I'm trying to summarize this whole series, and I'm not into spoiling anything right now. I don't want to spoil the ending of The Bad Batch. But the very, very end, let's say there's an epilogue, I'll tell you that. I don't think that's spoiling anything. That hit me pretty hard. Like, what was stated at the end of that. There's like two lines, and it's one character says it, and the other one says the other one back. And as a father, and what is said there really was like, yeah, like, man. And I don't think it would have been there had we not been on this journey with these characters. There were other characters that, you know, I'm going to say there were endings for characters in this show. And everything felt deserved. Everything that you got along the way was great. You know, the music was awesome. The animation for The Bad Batch, you know, I'm going to be one of those people that is going to complain that it was a very dark show, which kind of seems to be something that a lot of shows are doing now. There is a lot of things where you just couldn't even see what's happening on screen. But, you know, some of the just ambiance and the lighting and the way they would show some characters. Like, I'm just thinking of the one character, Hemlock, who we kind of really came to know kind of well in this third episode or third season. Sometimes they would show him, and he just, the way the lighting was not only shining on his face and kind of obscuring a lot of his features and that with the darkness, but his eyes were the source of that light, like put this glint in his eyes where he just looked so sinister. And I hope people aren't sleeping on Star Wars animation, because I think that's really where some of the best Star Wars storytelling today is. You know, you ask, how am I feeling about Star Wars right now? I mean, obviously I'm in it. I'm here for everything, right? Give me High Republic. Give me more Bad Batch. Give me Tales of, give me The Acolyte. Give me more movies. Give me everything. I'll just consume it all. But I think the Star Wars animation, I think they're on the right track with all of it. Like, I mean, Rebels was great. When you go back and watch that show now, you know, sure, it starts a little fluffy, and then by the end of that show is amazing, right? The Bad Batch, same deal. Kind of started a little fluffy and then turns into, you know, what ultimately could be described as maybe the end of the Clone Wars. Like, is that what we saw here? I don't know. Like, that's, you know, I'm hesitant to say that. I think we're going to see more of the clones again. I hope we do get more of that, because there's still a lot of story to tell here. You know, I don't think it's the end of us seeing characters from this series. Like, I would really hope that the way this ends, we're able to bring some of those characters back into the fold, either through animation again or even live action. I mean, there's a way to do that for sure, the way this ends. But I would tell you, if you've been sitting on watching the series at all, get into it, get through that first season, you know, because in the end, I think you're in for one heck of a ride. And by the end of it, you're going to love these characters. I will say that probably my favorite coming out of the whole series is definitely Crosshair, which I think if you go back to that first season, I never in a million years would have thought that I would have enjoyed that character at the end, that he would have really grown on me and become the one character that I think is the most developed, has the most, just epic story arc, if you want to say. Like, I think they did very well with him. And, you know, hold on, kudos to Dee Bradley Baker, who voices every character in The Bad Batch, but yet has somehow found a way to make each and every one of them incredibly unique. I mean, this guy, he has been voicing the clones ever since the Clone Wars. I mean, this guy is incredible. And so the fact that he took The Bad Batch, what, five members of this ragtag clone group, and was able to make each and every one of them sound distinct, sound, you would hear the voice and you knew who it was. But it still had that clone sound to it, if you want to say that. We're so used to when you just would hear, like, you know, Captain Rex or whoever else, or just, you know, random clone number five over there, overstanding in the corner. Like, he still was able to make it sound like them, but make it be a Clone Force 99 different version, like a variant or whatever they called them in the show. Like, it's great. Go watch The Bad Batch. I can't say enough about it. It wrapped up this week, and I think you're in for one hell of a ride. If you didn't watch it, I think you would really, really enjoy it. And then, of course, the other big news and the big thing we got on May the 4th was the new trailer for The Acolyte, which, by the way, I think they showed, I don't know if it was just the trailer or if they showed a little preview in showings this past weekend of The Phantom Menace, was in theaters this weekend. So if anybody got out to see that, and if it was anything different than what they put up on the web, definitely let me know. I haven't actually seeked that out as I'm saying that right now. I'm probably going to, as soon as we get off here, go look and see what that was. But yeah, Phantom Menace was back in theaters. I actually saw Matt, who's on the Game Club, said that he saw that in the Atlanta area, which is near where he lives, that Ewan McGregor was popping up into showing. So could you imagine going into the Phantom Menace and literally hearing from the back of the theater, "Hello there," and turning around and it's Obi-Wan standing in the back of the theater, like, what? But of course, Matt said that he was hesitant, just ended up not going, he was hesitant to go, and then of course he reads that, like, oh my God, man, that would have just been amazing to be there and actually see Obi-Wan himself in the flesh. But we did get this new trailer for Star Wars The Acolyte, and, you know, I can't say enough about how excited I am for this. I'm incredibly excited for this series for many, many reasons. Number one, you know, the fact that it's in the High Republic is great. I think this is going to be, you know, a great introduction for those who didn't play, who don't read the books, the comics, listen to the audiobooks, or those who didn't play Jedi Survivor. I think people who played that game hopefully will have an interest in this. But I think one of the great things they're doing is showing, you know, what appears to be somewhat prequel era type technology, and then showing us just some epic fight scenes. Like, what you're seeing here, I think a lot of people may look at it and think that's going to be the era that it's in and not even really realize that it's kind of the end of this High Republic era. But it is. It's about 100 years before the events of Episode 1. But everything we see, from the multiple lightsabers lighting up, it just strikes so many of those things in my mind that are just like, I need to see this. You know, this is what I've been wanting to see. We've seen scenes like this before in Star Wars animation. And I guess, yes, you could say in the prequels, we got some bits, right? I mean, Attack of the Clones, you do have the big battle in Geonosha, and you see them kind of fighting, and there's lightsabers all over the place. But to get this now, today, is, I think, just going to be great. And seeing these younglings training, seeing that whole process, what that's going to look like. You know, obviously, we're going to get Yoda for sure in this show. But this time, I don't think we really knew the villain. And not that we do know the villain, but there's seems to be a lot of crimes of Jedi being killed. And at the very end, you get a shot of a helmet. And I don't know who that is. Like, I can't help but feel there's going to be some tie to, like, Marcian Roe in the High Republic. Like, kind of what was happening there that we're kind of getting in the books. I don't know. We'll see kind of where that goes. But I can't wait. Like, this is just going to be one hell of a show. And I hope, you know, that a lot of people won't, like, just pass it off because it's new Star Wars. I mean, if you think about it, this is really the first really new Star Wars we're getting. Like, almost ever. I mean, sure, you could say, I'm not coming from George, that's live action, I guess. That's the right way to phrase it. And here I am putting out all these stipulations, like, so it's not new Star Wars. But It just feels that way, like, right? Like, this is going to be Disney's. They already said the High Republic was basically their initiative. It's their way of saying, all right, well, we know the old Republic's out there. We're not going to do that because that's already established. Obviously, with sequel, prequel, all that stuff is there. And yes, they made the sequel trilogy, but it still followed the Skywalker story and is kind of all tied into all that. This is like, we're going back 100 years. I mean, I think High Republic even goes further than that, right? I mean, it goes back to like 150 years before that, I think, is kind of where some of the books kind of kick off. But this is our Star Wars. Here we go. And it seems so far from this trailer, it's everything that I personally would want to see. Like, multiple Jedi. It seems to be a badass villain. Seems like there's going to be badass fight scenes in the show. Everything about it just screams to me, like, I need to watch that show. Like, it looks awesome. So be on the lookout for that. That'll be June 4th. You know, probably what I'll do when that comes out, we probably will start breaking down some of those episodes, maybe with some little podcasts kind of throughout the week, maybe after the air. We'll give some rundowns on those kind of when those come out. But yes, let me know. Are you excited for The Acolyte? Hit me up. I'd love to know. Speaking of TV shows, I do want to talk about the Fallout TV show, which, yes, I mean, the show's been out now. It's been a month, I think, right? Almost a month the show's been out. I forget exactly when it came out. April 10th. So we're almost a month out from when that show came out. And if you haven't seen it, it is available now. It's 8 episodes. It's over on Amazon Prime. I don't want to get into too much spoiler stuff with this either if you haven't seen it. But I will say this. I think for me, this may be the greatest TV adaptation of a video game that is out there. Now, hear me out. Now, I know in a world where Halo exists, which the first season, I actually never even finished it. I think I even talked about it last week. I need to go back and watch that show. As a huge Halo fan, I just was turned off from that first season. But in a world where The Last of Us exists, and I know people love that show, people love that video game, but the interesting thing and the genius thing that the Fallout series does is it doesn't tell the same story that the video games do, which, sure, Halo, same deal. And you know, you could probably even throw out Resident Evil if you want to, the Resident Evil films, right? I know there's the TV show, but I'm even talking the films. You know, Last of Us was a great show, and I watched it with my wife. My wife enjoyed it because we like kind of zombie horror type stuff. But, like, for me as a viewer, it was cool seeing it on TV, but it's just the same story, right? Like, it was just like, okay, you're just showing me the story. You did a good job telling that story. And I guess if you want to say, what are the merits for an amazing, incredible TV adaptation, that probably is it, right? Like, translate what you see in the video game to a television series and not make it be 30 hours long, right? Like The Last of Us would be. But what I think the genius of the Fallout series is it took not the stories. And granted, I mean, the overarching story we can say is the story of Fallout, but that's what the genius of it is it's really the world. And the way that the Fallout series works and has always worked is every game is in the same world, the same kind of political setting of what's going on in the in the literal world, like the bombs fell, the warring factions, the, you know, enemies that exist, kind of the technology, the vaults that are there, vault tech, all that stuff exists, but each one is in a different place. Each one tells its own story, but yet each game somehow pushes the story forward, and that's exactly what they did. They were able to say, okay, we're in this series, we're going to have these three vaults. one character comes out of one of those vaults due to circumstances like every other video game has. You got to figure out how they get out of the vault. They go to the surface and shenanigans ensue, which is what the video games are. But in the end, they've said this show is canon with the video games, which is even more incredible because now that has forced people like myself and everybody else who's played those video games to go back to those video games over the last month or couple weeks, right? How many people played Fallout 76 recently? I mean, it was a free Prime game. It may still be available. It was free on Prime Gaming if you have Amazon Prime. It's free. I think, and it was free for both the Xbox and for PC. You could get a free copy of that game with Prime Gaming. So if you're watching that show, that means you have Prime. You could get a free copy of the game. The game is also available on, you know, Xbox Live Gold and on PlayStation Plus. You can play Fallout 4. I don't know about 76, but Fallout 4 is. So you could jump into those games if you wanted to check them out. And the genius of it is so many people who played those games went back. But even bigger is people who never played those games went back. Or in Fallout 76's case, the game that was, you know, essentially a train wreck at launch, how many people either bought it or did what I said? You get it for free. Get it for free. It's free. Went and played that. And now maybe they're liking the game. I don't know if they are, but I know, you know, like many people, My friends list was loaded with people playing Fallout 4, Fallout New Vegas, Fallout 76. I just, every time I went on, whether it was on Steam, whether it was just going in Discord where I can see both my Xbox and PlayStation friends, someone was playing Fallout for those first like 2 or 3 weeks. They put out the patch for Fallout 4. Now there's this next gen patch, which you could get into all the craziness about what was happening, you know, there with the, you know, upgrade not being available for PlayStation people. I get that. But I think that now has since been resolved. But, you know, part of me was like, well, maybe that's a Microsoft thing. Like, okay, well, you want to get that patch. You got the game for free with your PlayStation Plus, but you want the upgrade, either buy it or come over to the Xbox. Don't think that's the case. That's a cynical me looking at it that way. But the series, on top of just the marketing of that, the series was really, really good. I mean, I loved every minute of it. I mean, there were moments where it was incredibly gruesome and graphic, but that's Fallout. There were moments where, you know, I don't want to spoil too much of it, but because of just the over-the-top violent humor that it almost has, I want to say, which, you know, it's kind of weird to say that in the same sentence, like violence and humor. How can you say that? But some of it is just comedic. Like there's one guy, I'm not going to say when it happens, but like he gets his foot stomped. And you don't really think about it, and he's limping around. And then at one point, he takes his boot off, and his toe's just, like, hanging there. And you couldn't help, I couldn't help, but just chuckle in that moment. Like, here's this dude. Like, it's just, it was so crazy. But part of it is because you know in the world of Fallout, and you learn it, and the way they show it to you, they're able to heal with these stim packs. Or they're able to cut an arm off and put on a bionic leg or bionic arm. You know, they can do whatever they want. There's mutations all over this world. And I think if you've played the games, you're going to watch this show and do the nonstop, you know, pointing at the screen. Like, yeah, I know that. I remember that. I've seen that. I know that. Like, that you just can't help but do that. And then if you have never played a Fallout game, I think you're still going to come away just, like, understanding the way they did it. Jonathan Nolan just did an amazing job. It's Christopher Nolan's brother, the guy, of course, who just won the Oscar for Oppenheimer, you know, did The Dark Knight, did Inception, all that. This is his brother, Jonathan Nolan. Now, Jonathan Nolan, though, however, did do Westworld. So that's where there was a little bit of hesitancy to this. But you can really feel kind of that, you know, kind of Western type feel to it. I mean, the casting was incredible. You know, Ella Purnell as Lucy, the main character, is phenomenal. Like, she is just an awesome, awesome main protagonist. But she's really not the main protagonist. I mean, she is, but you also got to put in Aaron Moten, who plays Maximus. He's the Brotherhood of Steel member, who you kind of follow him, and they get together, and we kind of get to go on an adventure with them. But I think the man who really stole the show, and really, it's no surprise, because, I mean, the actor is just incredible, was Walton Goggins as the ghoul in this. I mean, you want to talk about somebody who has really, I don't want to say typecast himself, because I've seen him in many other just kind of crazy roles. If you've ever seen Sons of Anarchy, him dressed in drag is just crazy to see that. But, I mean, this guy, he's a guy that, you know, now is a cowboy. In this show, he's a cowboy zombie, but it just works, right? Because it's the world of Fallout, and that's the way it goes, and the way that the places they go to, everything that they encounter and do, just works in the show. So if you have not seen the Fallout series, I urge you to watch it. The only thing I will say about it, like I said, that there is some violence, is it is pretty violent. I know that may turn some people off, but if you go in knowing that violence, yes, it is serious and it is kind of graphic at times, but I think by the end, you'll kind of have the same take like I do, or you're just kind of chuckling at it. You're like, of course he gets a hole blasted in his stomach. Like, oh yeah, of course. You know, it works that way. And, you know, when you even think about it, that fits in Fallout as well. With the Fallout series, starting with Fallout 3, has the VAT system where you can pause time and target limbs and literally blast those things off those characters. And you see it in-game in slow-mo. Guess what they did in the show by putting that graphic violence in there? They did it. They put it in the show. It's there. It's awesome. And then the other piece to it that just has always stole the show for me with Fallout in general, all the games, is the soundtrack, right? Half these songs, probably almost all the songs are actual 40s, 50s songs that are out there that we've never heard before, obviously, because they're way before our time, but they've always been in the video games. And to be playing the game with that music playing and, you know, enacting the violence that you're doing, it's just, there's something about it that is just amazing. And the show nails it as well. I mean, they pull it all in. It's just fantastic. There's a couple cameos in the show from actors that you'll recognize. That's just great. I can't say enough. And I will say, I'm not going to spoil the ending, but two things about the last episode and kind of the ending. We learned something huge about the world of Fallout that we didn't know before. And the fact that this is canon is a big deal. So, like, if you've played the Fallout games and are kind of into the Fallout lore, which I'm sure you've watched the show by now, but if you haven't, do yourself a favor and watch it, because, yeah, there's a big reveal kind of midway through the last episode that is a big, big deal. And then the second thing is where it ends, kind of it's not really a post-credit scene, or I can't remember, it might have been somewhat of a post-credit scene, but the very, very end, what we see, and we know we have a season 2 confirmed, is pretty exciting, so we'll see. But they got to make a video game out of this. They need to just make a Walter Goggins as the Ghoul video game. Like, just give it to, what the heck's their names? The guys that made Fallout New Vegas. Give it to them. They'll do, let Bethesda do their thing. They're working on Elder Scrolls 6. Eventually, we'll get back to a Fallout game, I'm sure, which Todd Howard was out there recently this week. I think kind of funny, had a great interview with him talking about how, you know, about all the success of Fallout and all that. And even talking about what I'm talking about here in a minute, the new Starfield update. But I have a feeling they're going to be getting back to some more Fallout probably sooner rather than later now because of this. And I think it would just be great to have some sort of like game where you're just playing as the Ghoul. Let me do that. Like, I think in the games you can become a Ghoul, I think, right? It's possible, I believe. Maybe not. Don't quote me on that. But I think that would be neat just to literally be a Ghoul, like rather than start in the vault. Which I guess in New Vegas you don't. You kind of start as somebody just kind of out, right? And you're saved from dying by getting shot in the head in that game in Fallout New Vegas. But I think it would be neat to just literally be the Walter Goggins character. Like, let us play that and kind of see where that goes. We'll see. But they definitely have a hit on their hands. And, hey, a second season's on the way. So definitely super excited for that. Keeping up here on the Bethesda tip, as I mentioned, there is a Starfield update coming out. Starfield, of course, launched while I was not doing the show, so I haven't really given my thoughts and opinions on Starfield. I will say I absolutely loved the game. I had a lot of fun playing it. I played it on my Xbox Series X, and, you know, it was a Bethesda game in space, but for me, it was just like, I just really enjoyed I'm just going to go to this planet, kind of see what's out there. I really got caught up in a lot of the dialogue. You know, that's the one thing is I really haven't gone back to play it since I finished it twice. I think I played like kind of that first month and that was it. But there's a planet you go to where you almost are like a Walter Goggins. You know, that was in my head as I was playing. It was like a Walter Goggins type character. I was like a Han Solo / Walter Goggins, like Western type guy. And this one planet town you go to is that. And I loved it. It was great. Kind of followed that storyline. And then I think after that, my next playthrough, I went back and kind of worked on like the corporate side of things. I forget what that group is. I mean, see, that's one thing about Starfield is like, I enjoyed my time with it, but coming away, in my head, I can remember some big moments and things that happened. And I don't want to say the game was forgettable, because it wasn't, but it's just like there were so many things hitting, right, that time. I mean, you had all these games coming out that it just, it's kind of pushed by the wayside. But with this new update that's coming out a little bit later this month, I think I might be dipping back in, because one of my biggest complaints about Starfield for me on my Xbox was it's only 30 frames per second, which may sound crazy, but as I've gotten older, I've found I can't play 30 FPS games really anymore. I almost get like a headache, and especially if a game fluctuates with its frame rate, which I'm a little bit worried that this update may do that. They're saying that there is a new mode that they're putting into the game that's supposed to target 60, but hopefully keep you at least 40 or 40 minimum. So we'll see how that works. I'm hoping that it can kind of keep it a little bit higher, but it's worth, I think, giving another playthrough for that. They're also adding maps, which, hey, that's a what a great thing to bring to a video game, right? Where you're going over all these massive planet-sized spaces. Why don't we put a map in the game on the screen? I wasn't somebody who was really complaining about the maps. I didn't mind it so much. Pretty much what I kept doing was just putting waypoints up, and kind of like how Skyrim did it this way. And I want to even say, I think Fallout did it. You just have your compass and you just go that direction. I'm pretty sure, from what I can remember, Fallout had that. But I think the biggest issue was more in towns, like having that map of where's the ammo, where's the, you know, inn, you know, those type of thing, which obviously wasn't in Starfield, but that type of thing on your map. It's always good to have that, and it didn't. And I know a lot of people that was a hindrance. People didn't want to take the time to learn their surroundings. And, you know, these games were really just kind of a product of their time, right? I mean, of course, Bethesda wanted to make the most modern type game they could, but when you have so many new games putting in all these modern features, and then you look at Starfield, it was kind of like, okay, you know, I get you. You kind of were making this beforehand. It was almost like a blast from the past to go back to. But it looked, I don't know, I liked it. But there was also a tease for a potential land vehicle that might be coming to Starfield as well. So there's a video they put out for this update. Check it out. I think I might be dipping back in to Starfield. We'll see, because there's a lot kind of going on here. Here in May, I know we have, Diablo has a big update, big loot update, which I think I may talk about that next week. They put a video up. I haven't had a chance to watch it. I'm trying to kind of read the updates they're doing for that with Diablo 4, with how they're going to handle the loot. And also, of course, you know, you got Final Shape coming out here beginning of June. I know Star Wars Hunters now is coming out beginning of June, which if you haven't seen that is... It's coming from Zynga, which is kind of a little concerning, right? But it's a free-to-play game. It's going to be on the Switch and on mobile. I think that's it. It might be coming to the other platforms as well. But just a free-to-play Star Wars shooter. You know I'm going to be in it. Star Wars game. I'm there. We'll see how that goes. We'll be jumping into that. So there's a lot of games kind of coming right now. So Starfield, I'll probably dip in, check it out, kind of see what the update is bringing with it. And maybe just kind of do kind of a... another playthrough, let's say. I don't want to spoil the ending of Starfield, but maybe I'll kind of do another playthrough and see kind of how that goes with the new graphic updates and all that and see. But let me know. Did you play Starfield? Did you enjoy it? Let me know. Hit me up, of course, Twitter or email me. One final thing here on the episode I do want to mention that we watched over this past week, over three nights. kind of funny story here. My son was supposed to read a book since Christmas time, well, after Christmas time when he came back from holiday break. And he's a senior in high school, which is crazy. He's graduating in like 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks now, which is just wild for me to think about. But he was supposed to read a book, and it could be pretty much any book, any theme that he wanted, and he chose Stephen King's The Shining. Now, I'm going to out him here on this podcast, so hopefully none of his teachers listen to the show, but he didn't necessarily read the whole book. Let's just put it that way. So to kind of catch up some time, we were like, all right, well, we need to watch The Shining. And if you've ever seen the Stanley Kubrick version of The Shining, it's not exactly a word-for-word adaptation. I mean, Stephen King himself has even come out and said, like, that's just not... It's cool. It's great. It's classic, right? I mean, I love that movie. It's one of my favorite horror movies of all time. Jack Nicholson, incredible in that movie. But it doesn't follow the book. So if you're somebody that's read the book, that's not the way to... I personally have never read the book. My wife has, just actually within the last, like, I think during COVID was one of the times she read it. We picked it up at a used bookstore. So we had the book, you know, for my son to read, but he didn't get all the way through it. But I remember when I was in high school that there was the made-for-TV miniseries, which used to be a very big deal. I don't know anybody out there, if you guys years ago remember, like, the old made-for-TV Stephen King series. They did The Stand, It, what else? Obviously, The Shining, Rose Red, The Langoliers, I remember. A bunch of different ones. And I used to, Storm of the Century was another one. I used to love watching these, and they would be on like ABC or NBC, whatever channel it was, or CBS, I'm not sure, but it was one of the main networks. And it would be for like 3 nights. I think The Stand was even like 5 nights, and it would be, you know, 2 hours. So essentially just a long ass movie. It's kind of funny as you think about it now, like these would just be like a Netflix series, which they kind of already are doing with some of the Stephen King stuff, with like Castle Rock and that. But The Shining, of course, had a big hill to climb, right? Big shoes to fill with Jack Nicholson playing the main character and that movie just being so beloved by people. And personally, from what I remember back in 1997, I really enjoyed it. It was Steven Weber, who was on a show at the time called Wings. He plays Jack Torrance, the main character. Rebecca De Mornay, I think her name was, she plays Jack's wife, Wendy. And then the kid that plays Danny, he's a little much. Like, that's the one thing out of the movie I could never really get on board with him. But he does a good enough job to kind of get the story conveyed. But the cool thing is Stephen King actually wrote the teleplay for this. So this is Stephen King himself adapting his book. So it wasn't somebody else writing the teleplay. It was literally him. And it goes for 3 nights. And, of course, made for TV. So there is violence. I mean, there's blood. But little bit of language in there, but it's not as scary as it could be. But the cool thing, and this is a lot of it, this is kind of coming from my wife compared to the book, was kind of the main theme of The Shining is Jack, the main character, really being a big alcoholic and kind of his struggle to not have another drink, and then couple that in with being an abusive father, and then couple that in with then going to the hotel to be the caretaker and being corrupted by all the ghosts and all that are there. And like this miniseries conveys that way more than the original Kubrick version of this. Like, because they have more time to keep it in there. But I think Steven Weber does an incredible job as Jack Torrance. I mean, there are times where it's like, man, like this guy really is out of his mind. Like he is going crazy. And so the other wacky thing about this is that you can't find it anywhere. Anywhere. It was never like, maybe like shortly thereafter it was streaming, like maybe in like 2000, 2001, maybe on like USA Network or something like that. But you could never, this is not something that like replays. They don't show it, and it's not streaming anywhere legal. At least you can't like go just to like Hulu or Prime or whatever and stream this. You might be able to buy it. That's one thing, you might be able to buy it digitally, but the Blu-ray for this thing is over $50 on Amazon because they probably released just a small amount of them. So people are trying to charge an arm and a leg for it. But we happened to catch on Amazon, there was they called it like the Thriller Collection. And it was this Shining miniseries, the It miniseries, which is just awesome. I think I actually already own that either on Blu-ray or by itself. And then Salem's Lot, I think was the other one, which I'd never seen, which I'm assuming it's a made for TV. I don't think it's the actual movie. So we ordered that, and it was like $12. So we got The Shining and we watched it. And I will say, for me, like from what I remember about it, it stood up. Like I actually really enjoyed it. We watched the whole thing. My son liked it. He actually got 100 on his project, which is great. It was just, I don't know, it was just kind of cool to go back and watch this old horror movie. My wife and I planned to watch It, the old It. I haven't seen it in years. And, you know, right now when I think of It and Pennywise, I think of course, the new ones, right, that came out, which they did an amazing job as well. But those original made-for-TV ones were just classic, man. Like, as a kid, that was, like, terrifying. Pennywise is just a nightmare for me. Like, he is just terrifying. And so to go back and watch that, I think would be awesome. So we'll probably be doing that, which is kind of weird. I mean, it's not even Halloween, right? But we're still watching these scary movies. But I don't want to – I would love to tell you to go watch The Shining. I don't know if you'd be able to find it. But if you did watch it back in the day, or maybe when you were a kid, if you remember watching it, let me know. Hit me up. TheEnthusedLife@gmail.com or on Twitter at Mark Turca, MarkTurc. I'd love to know if you saw that Shining. All right. Well, let's wrap it up there, guys. We've been going for almost an hour here. Got some things to talk about now. Like I said, this Friday, we will be doing our Retro Game Club on Super Mario RPG, The Legend of the Seven Stars. So if you'd like to be a part of that, be sure to just try to get into the game, play some of the game. Let us know your thoughts. If you're playing the remake or just did play it when it launched back in December on the Switch, Let us know your thoughts on it there. We'd love to get your opinions of that put onto the show. I will on Thursday on Twitter put out a question there, a little thread, so you can go ahead and respond to that if you want. Or right now, if you're hearing this, open up Twitter. Or I keep calling it Twitter. It's X. I'm always going to call it Twitter, which, by the way, I kind of protested downloading the X app. I just kind of was like, no, I'm never updating it. It's always going to be Twitter. But I finally had to do it because they were like deactivating all kinds of what do you want to call it? Like features in that. You had to update it. But just send me a message now if you can. Or if you're a little bit more long-winded, email me, theenthusedlife@gmail.com. Let me know your thoughts on the game, and we will talk about that. And, of course, just regular questions, comments. Like, that's why I kind of want the end of the show. We kind of bring in some just fun things to talk about, little discussion stuff. Hit me up with all that, too, and we'll kind of get that in the show and get you involved here. So big thank you for everybody, of course, for tuning in and being here again. It's been awesome, and to kind of see all those messages come back out made me feel good, and just made me just think, like, they love me, they still love me, like, you guys. No, but it was cool seeing all that you guys stayed subscribed and are still here. So with that, everybody, I appreciate you as always. Until next time, we'll catch you later.